Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News, writing in tribute and in memory of Colin Powell. General Colin Powell, Secretary of State Colin Powell, and as Jeff says, boldly, trailblazer Colin Powell. I call upon Jeff to help me understand the world that Colin Powell moved in because he became a commissioned officer in the U.S. Army in 1958. That was a time in my youth when I understand now discrimination was routine in the United States between the Second War and the Vietnam War, there was a transformation. Colin Powell lived in that transformation, and Jeff, coming a little later, observed his success. Jeff, a very good evening to you. What was 1958 for a commissioned officer in the United States Army who was also an African-American from New York City? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. There was no doubt about it in that period of time. We're only 10 years after President Harry Truman, integrating the military in the late 1940s when Colin Powell is commissioned out of the City College of New York. Obviously, as an infantry officer, one of his first assignments is going to be Fort Benning, Georgia. The large majority of U.S. military bases are in the South and the Southwest. And he would have numerous encounters with racial discrimination. He talked at length one time about going into a restaurant, and the waitress looked at him and asked him if he was a Puerto Rican. And he responded, "No, I am a Negro. I am an American, and I am an American Army officer," and she refused to serve him. And that's just indicative of the kind of environment that we were in the United States during some enormous racial segregation. He overcome all that, served in the Vietnam War, was wounded twice, and stuck with the Army during a very difficult time in the post-Vietnam era when the Army was bedeviled by downsizing, by racial discrimination and civil rights issues, and by a lot of drug problems. But Powell persevered and made the Army a career, and through all that, set himself up as not only a distinguished officer, but a trailblazer. And he would go on to mentor many African-American officers and others, a large number of which today, and in the aftermath of learning of his passing, are talking of him as a mentor, as is, for example, our current Secretary of Defense, General Retired Lloyd Austin.
I want to call upon you to remember the Vietnam period where Colin Powell served. He was awarded medals, and he talked about it in his autobiography. Vietnam was, for my generation, a burden, and it remains with us. And I was not in combat. I was observing it from the distance and safety of the United States, and yet it's still a moment where there is conflict in my mind, remembering that. The service of the men and women who served there, and at the same time, the frustration we felt because of the excesses of the Cold War. What was Vietnam to Colin Powell? What did he remember about it? What qualified his opinions as a member of the State Department?
Well, he talked about in his books that when he left Vietnam, he was convinced about the rectitude of our policy. But on reflection and doing a second tour in Vietnam, he came away and would talk in his autobiography about having a soldier dying in his arms, the pain of My Lai, the massacre at My Lai, and his division, the AmeriCal division. Though he personally was not part of that, it was his division that the units were part of that did the massacre at My Lai, and what an overall bankrupt policy he eventually decided the war in Vietnam was, and a war that was again unwinnable. And I think all these experiences haunted Colin Powell and many officers I knew from that era throughout their career, no matter how long or how short, and defined Powell later on in his career by insisting And this was really what he called the Powell Doctrine, that we, in fact, have policies of using military force when we have public support. We have clear political objectives of what we're going to try to accomplish, and then we apply overwhelming force to accomplish that particular mission. And he was determined to push that particular concept with the memory of Vietnam burned into his mind.
We come to Kuwait in 1991. Colin Powell serving as president, prominent in talking about Kuwait. But then 10 years later, less than 10 years later, the war on terror and the attack on the United States. The twist here is that everything was straightforward up until the war on terror. What went wrong? What does Colin Powell think now, or think at later in his life, about the war on terror and mistakes that were made?
I think it's interesting that Iraq kind of defined Colin Powell in a positive and a negative way. In a positive way, of course, the war that Ike Strick commanded in, the Gulf War, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, was a clear definition of the Powell Doctrine. Political objectives were clear: get the Iraqis out of Kuwait, massive U.S. support, and then the use of massive military power to accomplish that. And the bringing together not only of the U.S. military, but we had 39 countries who contributed forces, to include places like Syria. And in fact, Afghanistan contributed forces on our side in 1991. Then we come to 2003 and the impending invasion of Iraq once again under George W. Bush as part of the war on terrorism. Powell was the one who was often described as a reluctant warrior in the aftermath of the Balkans wars and then subsequently the invasion of Iraq in 2003. He would always use the phrase, this is like a Pottery Barn scenario. If you break it, you buy it. And he talked at length in private meetings with George W. Bush, the president then, about that as a real possibility in Iraq. But when he then was asked by the president to deliver the speech on February in 2003 before the UN Security Council, explaining the rationale and the intelligence that had been gained by our intelligence services justifying the invasion, he was the one asked to do that, I think in many ways because the Bush administration realized Powell's popularity and the belief in many minds of Powell being a straight shooter, honest man was going to be the most persuasive. And it certainly was. It persuaded, I think, a lot of Americans who were puzzled by the possibility of invading Iraq. And number two, it persuaded some of our reluctant allies. As it turned out, of course, that intelligence was found to be fatally flawed. And Powell thought that this would be a blot on his career. And he never forgot it and he regretted it deeply.
I want to come in, and my memory of Colin Powell was traveling with the George Bush campaign in the summer of 2000. And I saw him speak at Pittsburgh. It was just an event along the way. There are many of them. He was on the road with the then governor of Texas, George Bush. He spoke quite generously at length about the foreign policy that he saw. This is summer of 2000. And it was clear to everyone in the room, and I believe in the election of 2000, which was a very tight election, either man could have been president afterwards, that Colin Powell's gravity was a deciding factor for that election, in that election. The puzzle then is that that gravity was useful to President Bush, to the Bush administration. And my thinking now, remembering how the Secretary of State, Colin Powell, presented the evidence that he had been given about Iraq's WMD, he had no independent way to validate or challenge that information, Jeff. He was the Secretary of State. He's not running intelligence gathering or the CIA. I puzzle why he regrets when it was so obviously not his. He was taking advantage. We could even be cynical and say he was taken advantage of because he was the one man you wouldn't challenge when he said a thing was so.
Well, that's exactly right. And the uptick to that particular speech, it's alleged that then Vice President Dick Cheney, I said to Powell, you know, you're the most popular guy in America. Maybe we need to spend some of your popularity. And that's why he was, I think, chosen and asked by the president to deliver that very fateful speech in February 2003. I think in many ways, his selection as Secretary of State, he was the first cabinet officer picked by George W. Bush. And he was, as you said, very active in the campaign, was then Governor Bush, was not seen as being, you know, very wise or schooled in foreign policy. So having someone like Colin Powell as his Secretary of State gave him instant foreign policy legitimacy. And perhaps Powell thought he then would be mentoring Bush on foreign policy issues if and when he was elected. But in many ways, I think what Powell found out was he was outflanked in that by Vice President Cheney and by Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, and particularly the policy towards the invasion of Iraq and post-invasion efforts by the United States. And I really think that's what led Powell in 2004, only a handful of days after George Bush was reelected, to announce his resignation and departure from the State Department.
Since then, between that time at the leaving state and his death in 2021, Mr. Powell was caught up in Republican politics from a distance, not active. I don't believe he was any more an active campaigner for any candidate. He was certainly camaraderie with Mr. McCain, a Navy man. But the endorsement of Barack Obama, that was hardly a controversial opinion. Barack Obama was overwhelmingly elected. And then the troubled candidacy of Donald Trump, you'd have to say that these last years, the party, Republican Party, was unable to embrace Colin Powell as it wanted to because of these political events. So my question to you, Jeff, is it always going to be a warning to professional officers to avoid politics in their careers? Is that good advice, Jeff?
Well, Powell said frequently, for senior officers, they have to understand politics, and that politics isn't a dirty word. That you've got to, in fact, understand how Washington works. And if you don't understand that, you're going to get ground up. I think he actually used that phrase. Now, that's an understanding of politics as opposed to perhaps being political, and that is endorsing candidates and campaigning, which one can't do. Clearly, they're when they were in uniform. And when Powell, of course, was urged in 1996 by many to run for president, and some even urged him to consider it in 2000. In both cases, he said no. He didn't have the calling. He didn't have the calling to be a politician and do the things politicians have to do. But he saw himself, I think, in the mold of George Marshall, who, of course, was our senior military officer and advisor to Franklin Roosevelt during World War II, and subsequently Harry Truman, Secretary of State. And that's the route I think Powell saw himself doing. But as far as his affiliation with the Republican Party, he was courted by both parties when he retired. He'd been an independent all the time. He was in uniform. Decided, I think, somewhat to his affection to the Bush family. He had great respect for George Herbert Walker Bush and his belief in a conservative philosophy of government spending and national security, that he would go with George W. Bush. But then in 2008, the question is, did Colin Powell leave the Republican Party, or did the Republican Party leave Colin Powell? He would say when he endorsed Barack Obama 2 weeks prior to that election that he did so because he did not believe Sarah Palin, Mr. McCain's selection as a vice president, was qualified and feared she might become president. And secondly, a lot of the comments that Republican politicians who were running for office, not so much Mr. Bush, had made about birtherism, about Muslims, he found contrary to his beliefs about the United States. And so he threw his lot endorsing Barack Obama. And then, of course, since 2016, he would endorse Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump. And finally, in 2020, our most recent election, he would publicly endorse Mr. Biden at the Democratic convention on a video.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired, CBS News. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.